34 right now. She's obliterating the record.
Alicia Barnow is about to four-peat the only man in history to do it.
Kara Gotcher, she wanted to do this event. It was important to her. Here in Duluth, how sweet it is, her arm raised in triumph.
Welcome, everybody, to the Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast, brought to you by Essentia Health. I am Zach Schneider. I'm the marketing and PR director here at Grandma's Marathon. We're back today with another of our race ambassadors from this year. These are people that we selected who know our race. They know about Duluth. They have a passion for our organization and our race weekend. This ambassador actually new to our group in 2025, so I'm excited to have him on the podcast with us today. Let's welcome everybody, Greg Koch.
Hello, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Greg, I mentioned that you're new to the ambassador group, but that doesn't mean that you're new to Grandma's Marathon. So you're one of our rookies to the ambassador group this year. Let's give everybody kind of an introduction to your background, not only to Grandma's Marathon, what's been your connection to our race, but just your general running story. What's brought you to this point now as we get further in 2025?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is I own a local running store in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And in the region, Grandma's is the premier race. So South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, you know, our area, everyone talks about Grandma's. So if you're going to be in the running business, I think you have to have some understanding of what's happening at Grandma's, because so many people love to go and run that race, and I'm one of them. I've had the opportunity to get up there and run the race. I love the Duluth area. But it's, you know, every day on the floor at a running store, you're talking about running, which is, you know, for those of us involved in a marathon or in this sort of network, is like the dream. We have a place where we can go and talk about running and no one is going to be annoyed or bored or confused, and no one's going to call you crazy. But we get to talk about Grandma's Marathon a ton. So naturally, you know, I had to go check it out and experience it for myself. So love the race, love everything about it, and I'm really excited. As I've gotten into store ownership, I have not had as many opportunities to sort of put myself out there. And so when I saw the Grandmasters thing, it was time. It was, you know, like, let's get more front and center again as a runner, and train and run a race. So that's great. You know, in terms of running, there's not much I haven't had the opportunity to do, but I'm thrilled to have this opportunity.
So beyond your clientele, the people that come into your store and talk to you about Grandma's Marathon, what's your personal connection? When's the first time you were in Duluth? What stood out to you about the race weekend, just in your own individual running journey past like the business side of things?
Yeah, and so I had an opportunity to come up and run Grandma's in 2022. I've been to Duluth several times. So my family, we love to travel. We love to explore. We love the outdoors. So, you know, our first time to Duluth was not for the race. It was just to go up there and vacation in Duluth. And so we love the lake. We love hiking, you know. So, you know, Betty's Pies, we found that and have made that a natural destination on a regular basis. And but Gooseberry Falls, you know, the harbor cruise, like there's just so much of the area for my family. I've got a pretty young family. My daughter's 5, but we always love being outdoors in the nature. So Superior Hiking Trail. I actually spent my 21st birthday on a backpacking trip through the Boundary Waters. So Northern Minnesota has always been, I've always had a connection or a draw to that area. And Duluth is sort of the epicenter of, you know, what's known as the North Shore.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, I think that when you talk about marathoners, a lot of them love being outdoors and love being, you know, connected with nature. And Duluth obviously offers so many natural advantages to us talking to those people. So it's great to hear that you started with Duluth and then made your way to the marathon. I think a lot of people, it's the other way around. They come for marathon weekend and then maybe the next year they're not running the marathon, but they're planning a vacation to this area. So it's great to hear that it went the other way for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Every time we go to Duluth, we find something new and exciting. There's not many places where you go back and there's something different that you can explore or do. So just a fantastic area, and again, we love it. From the zoo to, there's just so many different things to explore and do. And as a young family, finding things that are fun for a 5-year-old, but also for a 38-year-old, that's always a trick. And we're able to do that in Duluth, so it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you are on the podcast specifically to talk about your work in run specialty stores. We try to find Grand Ambassadors that have slightly different interests, slightly different expertise, and you stood out to us during this process because of your work in run specialty stores, and that's such an important part of marathoning. And the point of this podcast is to help get people more comfortable as we get closer to June. Maybe gives them some tips and tricks, give them things that they have always wanted to ask. Maybe they don't know who to ask, or they're too embarrassed to go and ask some of the simple questions. But talking to you even before we started recording, it feels like those are the people that you're there. I mean, yes, there are people who come in, know exactly what they want, they know exactly what shoe brand they wear and how it works. But I feel like a lot of the people we talk to and run specialty stores, especially nowadays, they get a kick out of talking to people that have no clue, and they just come in and want to know how do I make my feet feel better? How do I get in the right shoe as I start this journey? So what's been your experience, I guess, over the last several years? I mean, things, it seems, have been changing a lot in the run specialty game, and there's a lot more options out there than there ever have been before.
Absolutely. I think, in the last 5 to 7 years, the quality of product available in the running space has just skyrocketed. Every single brand is making really competitive and excellent footwear, which is awesome for the consumer. But the other trick is being able to digest all of that information is incredibly challenging. There's no amount of research or reading that you can do on products that beats actually being able to try it on side by side. And that's where running specialty really thrives. So not only do we have it in a running specialty store, do we have people that have tried on product, experienced product, and know it really well. We provide you with that experiential retail of I'm going to try on shoes side by side and see what one actually fits and feels best for me, the individual. That is run specialty at its core, that the fit process and understanding that running can be incredibly intimidating. And the majority of our consumers are either new runners or folks that haven't run in a long time or folks that don't even run. They just need a well-fitting pair of shoes. So the key is to understand the people at the running specialty store are excited to work with you, and they can help you find that excellent product that's going to work best for you. And what works for me might not work for you. And so understanding that the way that we get to that solution is fit and feel. That's so critically important in the run specialty industry. And that's really what we're passionate about and how we are an asset to communities.
How much different is it than picking a normal shoe, right? Because everybody's gone to the store, they've tried on some shoes at whatever store it is, and they've walked out and they've been relatively happy their whole lives. But running shoes, it feels like the first time that I actually went into a specialty store and went through the process of, getting on the treadmill, getting them to size my foot, getting them to put me in a couple different brands. It was a completely different process than anything I had ever done before. So, what is, I guess, the process or the benefit to going through that at this stage in the calendar? We're talking about a June race. You and I are talking here near the turn of the year. This is about the time where you want to be getting into the right shoe and training with it over the next several months.
Yeah, I think the key thing you said there is size. So 70% of consumers are in the wrong size shoe. Most of us haven't really had our feet measured since we were little kids. And so the idea of going into a run specialty store, what we're going to do, first and foremost, we're going to ask you some questions. We're going to learn about your background, your profile. Like, Have you been a long-term runner? Are you new to the sport? Are you even running at all? What are you looking to use your shoes for? That's really critical. But then actually measuring feet is so critically important. That's the key to injury prevention. That's going to make your life really good in terms of your overall experience. It's going to set you up for success. A lot of times we'll have people that will come in and they're like, ah, I started running and I just hate it because my feet keep going numb. And then you measure them and it's like, well, you're in a size 8 and you probably need to be in a 9.5. That's such a common occurrence. And it's shocking to folks. But you know, when you get active and you start moving, your feet are going to swell. And so you have to be able to have that the correct fitting footwear in order to be successful. And so, like right now, if you're thinking about grandmas, you want to get a really solid pair of everyday trainers that fits well and can handle your mileage build. So right now you're thinking about base building. So you're not necessarily putting in a ton of like speed work or hard efforts, but you're going to start stacking up the time on your feet. And that's where you just want a really well-fitting pair of trainers.
Reminds me a little bit about, so I'm a golfer. I don't know if you are as well, but when I first
Absolutely.
started playing golf, that was such an intimidating sport as well, about what was out there, what clubs you needed to have, what equipment you needed to have, and ultimately you don't need to get the top of the line gear right off the bat. And I think running is, you can build up to it. I think running is similar to that, but I'm curious your impression of this, because oftentimes I talk to runners that are signed up for their first half or their first full, and I say, "Oh, did you go get new shoes? That's exciting, part of this." And they said, "Oh, I'm not really that invested into it. I don't need new shoes. I'll just use the old ones, and I don't need to spend all that money." But it feels like that's the barrier for a lot of people, is you don't need the $500 shoes right off the bat. Maybe you'll work up to it, maybe you won't, but what would your response be, I guess, to somebody who's a first timer in this and saying, "Well, I've got a pair of running shoes. I've run them for years. Why can't I just use those?" What's the benefit to actually getting in, whether it's a low end or a medium, style shoe, to start, I guess, the more serious training over the next couple of months?
Yeah, again, I go to the quality of product that's available is really great. And if you go into a running specialty store and if you express what your budget is, more than likely we can really work within that. So you're going to be looking anywhere from $130 to $200 for a pair of great trainers. The reason you want to get that is race day is really a celebration. Where the work happens is everything leading up to that. That's where you're really going to be putting the time on your feet and really grinding it out. And so the goal is to get to race day healthy. And to do that, it really starts with building your arsenal of tools. So tools in the toolbox. And you know, your first pair of shoes is really critical to having that successful training experience. And so getting a great pair of trainers is just really going to be the key to your success. Even if this is a one-time thing, I promise you getting a great pair of trainers is going to make the overall experience that much better. And then you're going to, I more than likely, once you get done with that first race, you're going to be looking at the calendar and saying, what's next? Or I want to come back and I want to do better. Or I know I can do better. I want to do that. You know, the goals start to stack up and the experiential things start to happen where that was, you know, such an amazing experience. And it really was the journey and the race was the celebration. And so you start to make friends, you start to understand the community and the culture of running more and more. So it starts with a pair of shoes and it just sort of snowballs from there. But for your health and wellness, starting out with a great pair of trainers is just critical.
And understanding where you are in the process too, right? And going back to the golf analogy too, when I first started to play golf, you'd watch the game on TV. I said, "Okay, I want to try that." I go out with my friends who've been playing for a long time, and well, I want to use the golf ball that you use. And I learned over time that that wasn't always the most beneficial thing, right? They were using a ball for different reasons. It had different spin. It had different hardness to it, but if you're beginning in this journey, if you are a first or second time marathoner, if you're early in that career, so to speak, you don't necessarily need to be wearing the same shoes that a Dakota Lindworm or a Clayton Young are wearing when you watch the Olympic trials and the Olympics, because the goals are different, right? And so that's somewhere where I think too, we don't necessarily need top of the line gear all the time. Sometimes it's better almost to get into a shoe that fits where we are in our development too, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Dakota, just as a South Dakota person and that. What you see on TV when they're racing is not what they're training in. And so that's the key piece. Race day shoes are an entirely different thing than what you're going to be training in. So we've got different shoes for different purposes. Your training shoes are more than likely not what you're going to race in. And so that's a different experience to think about. A lot of people, are going to run a marathon in a trainer, and that's totally okay and perfectly acceptable. Those race day shoes are not for everybody. They're not built for everybody, and they're not intended for everybody. There's still quality product out there. And again, it's understanding the intention and the purpose of the product. And understanding that the athletes you see on TV are probably using a lot of different shoes. It's not just the one shiny one that they have on race day.
So how do people break in the shoes properly? Whether so let's do this two different ways. If I'm going to wear the same shoe through my training and on race day, how much do I have to wear that shoe to properly break it in your opinion or your expertise to be ready to go on race day? And then version two is if I'm going to train in a different shoe and then wear a different one on race day, wear my race day shoe, what's the process for getting my feet ready and my body ready for that? Because I feel like there's two different ways to get ready for a race when it comes to shoes. And those are probably the two most elementary basic ways to do it.
Yeah, so I'm going to speak to this as a running coach. And one of the things we talk about in building training plans and getting ready, race day ready, is, and what you're going to hear a lot is, it depends. It's such a personal deal. So in terms of breaking shoes in, if we're talking about the marathon specifically, I think we have to start wrapping our brains around we're going to need more than one pair of shoes. Even if it's the same style of shoe, in order to successfully train for the marathon and then run the marathon, there's more miles than what any shoe can accommodate that are going to be necessary for success. So most of our daily trainers, we're looking anywhere between 300 and 500 miles or 6 to 8 months of wear. Typically, it is what they're going to be good for, and then they're going to be used up. Now, it depends on the person. So I'm going to wear out. I'm a big guy. So, I'm over 6 feet tall. I'm over 200 pounds. I'm going to burn up shoes a little bit faster than someone that's just, anatomically different than I am. That's just the reality of the way science works. That's physics, right? And so understanding that it's going to take more product than just one pair of shoes, I think, is something if you're signing up for a marathon, you have to sort of wrap your brain around. But then the other thing is like finding what works really well for you. So we always call it tools in the toolbox. I've got different shoes that I'm going to use on different days, and I really like the idea of rotating shoes. So not using the same shoe every single day, rotating shoes, having a different drop, which is a bit of a technical term. So the offset of your shoe, I like that. I think it's going to activate different muscles and give you a different overall experience while you're running. And you can get really highly technical with some of that stuff. And I'm going to lean back to having a good relationship with your specialty store, because they're going to really be able to help you with those experiences and answer a lot of those questions as you get into it. I promise you're going to read a ton of stuff online, and some of it's going to be contradicting, and it's going to be difficult to decipher that. So having an actual person that you can go and trust and talk to about these things is really important.
The answer, it depends. And then the last thing that you just said reminds me a lot of the conversations that we have with our medical team. And we'll have a couple of those people on as we get closer to the race to talk about, proper ways to stretch and warm up and what to put in your body nutrition-wise as you get ready for the race. But ultimately, it comes back down to it depends, right? It's a very individual thing. We encourage people not to take these things at face value, to go talk to their physician, their PT, their nutritionist to get the things that work for them. It feels like when you're talking about shoes, I don't want to make this necessarily a glib comparison because they're different things. But when we're talking about preventing injuries and keeping your body healthy, I mean, it is still important. And so it feels like those two things are very comparable. Yes, there are some overarching pieces of advice that you and I can talk about here, but ultimately, you have to go figure out what's best for you individually.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. And the other piece, I'm always preaching this as someone who sells shoes, but also works directly with a lot of healthcare professionals and medical professionals, is shoes aren't prescriptions. So if you find yourself getting into training and your body is hurting and you might have injuries or things like that, a shoe's not going to be able to fix that. You're going to have to actually go see a professional. And we have barriers set up where, going and finding that, seeking out that professional help, it can be nerve-wracking. Just like going into a running store is intimidating. Sometimes, talking about ourselves and our health can be intimidating, but we have to break those barriers down. And it's really, really important to understand, when I go into a running store, I'm going in to find a product that's going to work for me in my training, not a product that's going to heal or fix me. Shoes, just simply, they're not Band-Aids. They're not ibuprofen. They're none of those things. It's really important to be able to go find the, so really think about building up your team, that's going to help you be successful come race day.
Yeah, going back to the golf analogy, I've bought a couple drivers here and there that I thought would fix my game, and they haven't. They're not magic wands. You still have to put in the work yourself.
Yeah, and then you can't putt with a driver, right? Like, and you can't chip with a driver typically. Like the, so it's understanding what's the tool that's actually going to help my score. And more than likely, I can hit it 300 yards, but if I hit it 300 yards into the woods, we're going to have a long day out on the golf course. It's very, very similar to running and being prepared for running,
Yeah, some days I
so
can't putt with a putter either, but
yeah.
that's a conversation for a different day. Other than shoes, I mean, there's so much that we could talk about in the world of shoes. But going beyond shoes, people come in and there's so much else that you could use gear-wise that you would get at a run specialty store for a marathon. What are some of the top things that would actually be helpful to most people? I mean, I know it's again going to be very individual, but what are some of the things that if you go into a store and you're looking around that should catch your attention and say, "Hey, maybe I should try that to see if it will help." Do you have like a top three of things that are kind of jump to mind when people say, "Hey, what else is out there?"
I don't think any conversation about running can happen without talking about apparel, and technical apparel. Right now, in particular, you and I were both in the Great White North, so we're dealing with a lot of different weather conditions. I prefer to run outside as much as I possibly can. And so you think about layering, dressing appropriately for the elements. No matter what the environment is, you're always dealing with just that, the environment. And so technical fabrics are there for a reason. So moisture management, moisture wicking product is critical. And again, right now, thinking about winter running, I'm the king of the snow beard, the frosty beard. I can go out and knock out some miles and have a pretty awesome look post run, but that look says I'm frozen, but in reality, I'm toasty warm and good to go. So, understanding how to dress appropriately, how to layer, what products are going to be helpful, is key. The other thing right now, we're dealing a lot with traction control. At least here, it's been really frosty and icy and a lot of like melting and refreezing. And so, making sure that we've got traction control devices available, whether it's Yak Tracks or ice bugs or whatever those types of things look like, so that we can go out and have a successful run, be healthy while we're doing it, and being safe. My last thing, so apparel, traction, and then the last thing right now, because it's dark a lot, is making sure we're visible. Again, that's just a really key safety component. So headlights, reflective wear, light up vests or reflective vests, all of those things are critically important for us training outside in this season.
Yeah, the bulk of our participants do still come from the upper Midwest. And so most people that are training for Grandma's Marathon are training right now through some of those same elements that you're talking about. I can't promise anybody that it won't snow or be icy on our race day in June. I can never make that promise, but it's unlikely, right? How important is it that people train in all the different elements, or as many of them as they can? We're talking about heat and sun, rain and wind, whatever it may be that could be happening on race day. Because if you haven't trained in the rain, you don't know how your apparel feels when it's wet. You don't know how your shoes feel when they're wet. And it feels like, we talk to some people and they're like, well, if it's raining, I'll do the treadmill today, or this will be my skip day or whatever. And we're like, well, it could rain on race day. And if you're not prepared for it, what does that do from like an apparel and a shoe standpoint if you've never experienced it before?
Yeah, so the mind is an incredible thing, and so much about marathoning in particular is the mental aspect of it. And by training in the elements, you're strengthening your mind. You're prepared for what's going to happen. If you don't have that sort of mental readiness, your race experience is in jeopardy, right? Like, you could really have a bad day if you're not equipped for elements, because you get one crack at it. Race day is race day, and it could be anything. It could be hot, could be cold, could be raining. So making sure you're prepared and thinking about that when you're packing, getting ready to head up to Duluth and visit that area. Understand the forecast says one thing, but it might not be right. And so understanding that race day could look entirely different than what you've prepped and planned for, is a reality. And so making sure you're ready for that, we call it a training stimulus. Having those training stimuluses there that get your mind right, because physically you're going to be there, but mentally, you have to be just as sharp as you are physically.
Yeah, it's funny because as a staff, we typically will go down to Canal Park just so we don't have to go back and forth, to our homes for the bulk of race week. And the amount that I pack for those 4 days, it rivals what I would pack for, a 6 or 7 day vacation with the family, because I do bring, some snow pants. I do bring some cold weather gear. A lot of it is like rain gear and stuff for if it's hot. But even we as a staff and as race volunteers and things like that, we have to pack for the elements same as the runners do. And so we definitely get that part. We don't necessarily put all the miles in training through the next couple months that the runners do, but preparing for the elements has served our staff well more than once. It'll serve runners well as well come June.
Absolutely. Now, I would love it for it to be, mid 50s with a nice little tailwind and absolutely perfect. But you're next to like one of the largest lakes in the world, so it could be anything.
And it has been most anything. That's why I say we haven't gotten necessarily the snowstorm in June on race day, but that might be the only thing that we haven't experienced over our almost 50 years of Grandma's Marathon. So come prepared. I think the biggest thing is be out in as many of those elements as you can over the next several months. Don't shy away from it, because the first time you do it'll probably be the hardest, and then it'll get easier from there.
Yeah, and it becomes a like it, it's fun. It's an adventure when you're preparing for elements. It's a strategy. If you look at it like a puzzle, and if oh, I'm gonna layer this, or I really like these gloves, or I have to make sure this is clean, like it adds to that experience. And I kind of go back to it. Race day is a celebration of all of that effort and work. And it's you'll have so much fun looking back on your training cycle and saying, oh, do you remember that day where we ran and it was -6 and the wind was blowing and it was snowing? Or do you remember when we ran through the rain or it was crazy hot? Whatever that might be, those memories, they have a lot of value to the overall experience. And then race day, you celebrate all of that effort, all of that work. And that's what makes the finish line so incredibly special.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly who it was that told it to me exactly in this way. It might have been Dick Beardsley over the last several years, but it was make all the mistakes you can before race day, so that on race day you're not making any, hopefully not making any new mistakes, and you can just focus on your race plan, on your experience. And it's important that people view the training cycle like that, to go out and make some mistakes and learn from it, because then hopefully you won't be feeling the same way when it comes to race day, which is the culmination of this all. So yeah, all good stuff. Greg, I do want to ask a couple questions about Duluth, but because we're talking about it, we do have some run specialty stores in Duluth that we partner with, and so anybody from the area, we can direct them there. Obviously, people in and around the Sioux Falls area can look up your store, but if they just want to ask some questions, I mean, this is why you're on our team. So on social media, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Maybe they can pick your brain, ask you some of those more basic questions before they go to a store in their area. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Instagram, Greg Run 605, if you want to reach out there. You can also look up Run 605. That's going to be our store page, but I manage all of those accounts as well. Feel free to reach out. You can also shoot me an email, greg@run605.com. Happy to converse. I'm a certified running coach through Roadrunners Club of America. I've been in the specialty industry for 10 years. Our store just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last July. And if you find yourself in the Sioux Falls area, we've got two locations. So feel free to stop in and talk with me or my staff. And yeah, keep on running. It's the most exciting sport you can get into. Lowest barrier of entry is to get out and start running, walking, and enjoying your footwear.
I do want to go back to the beginning when you said that Duluth came before Grandma's Marathon in your journey, because so often people will ask us, what else can I do, right? I'm coming to town for the race. I'm there for 3 or 4 days. What's your recommendation for something to do outside, place to eat, things like that? So I just want to get your perspective on it. What are some things that people should do if they had one day to do in Duluth? What's the best Greg Koch travel guide trips or travel guide tips to Duluth for marathon weekend?
Oh man, we've done a lot, but I would say we always make sure to visit the aquarium. I think it's one of the coolest freshwater aquariums you'll find. And again, my family is huge into animals and things like that. And it is top notch. It's a really fun aquarium to check out. I also Betty's Pies. If you got to make it up, it's just a little bit north of Duluth. Key place to visit if you value pie at all in your life, make it up to there. There's plenty of fantastic breweries and things like that, for the grown-ups to explore. We visited many, and then Canal Park, just taking a lot of time to walk around and explore the park there. We've even done like the historical walking tours, and we've done the harbor cruise. So all of those things are excellent activities. Check out the zoo. I did the zoo after running the marathon. I don't know if I would recommend that because it is a fairly hilly spot there if you're going to go over to the zoo, but we made it work and it was a great recovery tool for me that day. And again, Gooseberry Falls, I think, is a fantastic park. Another great place to hike and explore.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks, Greg, for being with us. Thanks for all the great advice. We hope it helps some people, and we're looking forward to seeing you here in Duluth in June.
Thank you so much for having me.
This Gearing Up for Grandma's podcast brought to you by Essentia Health. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. Please subscribe, rate us, tell your friends. Grandma's Marathon is proudly presented by Toyota, Members Cooperative Credit Union, ASICS, and Coca-Cola. I am Zach Schneider. Until next time, everyone, Be well.